Those are all the announcements that I have this morning. If you could all rise and join me in the reading of the scripture this morning. It comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 43. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 43. I'll read the even number verses, and if the congregation could read responsively with the odd number verses. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, "First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Verse 31. Though it is in the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field."
He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed
is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one." As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You may be seated. May God bless the reading of His Word. This time, Pastor Wilson will be sharing us the message entitled, "The Coming and Presence of God's Kingdom, Weeds, Seed, and the Yeast."
Many years ago, when I was a graduate student in my school, I took a special class. The class is called pottery. I took that class, and I walked into the studio, or the pottery studio, and I found out that the studio was not very attractive. It was full of dust and smells like molding, and it's always wet, and there's a lot of mud around. But I spent some time in that studio, and I enjoyed the class. And oftentimes, when I ran into some of my classmates from other classes, they always asked me this question: why would you on earth would like to take a class like that? You know, messing around with mud and get your hands dirty and everything is so dusty, so dirty. And my answer to him was, you have never seen a potter who pull out a pot from the kiln, from that oven, and look at the end product. That end product gave me joy, gave me encouragement, so that all these dirty things, dusty studio, working long hours, bending at the potter's will, compared with the end product, it was nothing. So it is in the same fashion that today we look into the Gospel of Matthew. In here, Jesus presents before us a couple of parables, and if God's willing, then in the weeks to come, we will study the parables about God's kingdom. And I just want to make some of the terms clear to you, that in the parables, that when Jesus talks about kingdom, usually his kingdom is not pointing toward his church. God used his church to build his kingdom, starting on earth. But one day, when the end time comes, when Jesus returns in glory, then the whole universe will under God's rule and God's sovereignty. And his glory and his presence will be in everywhere, anywhere in this universe. That is God's kingdom. So in other words, God's kingdom is not a geographical term. Or God's kingdom is not an institution. But rather, God's kingdom is a status that he rules in people's heart as well as in different places. So whenever and whoever then ruled by God, you can say that God's kingdom is present there. So today, however imperfect the world that we encounter, however imperfect that you and I look at our lives, but if we gradually and also willingly let God rule in our hearts, then we can say God's kingdom start to take root and dawn in our lives. So I just want to make sure this is clear. And when we read the scripture, you guys stop in one place. Actually, you stop in the right place. Because this parable, this scripture, is divided into three parts. The first part is verses 24 to 30, where Jesus spoke of a parable of someone who sowed seeds in the field. And then it ended up two kinds of plant grow from that sowing. One is wheat, the other one is weeds. I spent a lot of time with my son to practice wheat and weeds. There's two different things, but the similarity of the English pronunciation actually capture the very essence of that parable. I want to put up the next slide and I find some picture for you. Now, the wheat and the weeds that Jesus talked about, actually the weed is on the left-hand side, weeds, is what today we call darno or tay. Now this is a special kind of plant. It's a different family from the wheat. Now in that picture you can see the two almost identical. They look almost the same. Now this is the tricky part. Because we do have ancient account back in Jesus' time that if certain landowner, they own a piece of land, they sow out seed and they try to grow a harvest, and the landowner's enemy would do something cunning, that he would come to that landowner's field and scatter a different kind of seed while during the seeding season. And when the seed would fall on the soil, you cannot tell. And if you look at the picture here, the plant, when they grow together, is hardly, you hardly can tell them apart. The difference between the two is the one on the left-hand side, the wheat, the darno, the tay, they are poisons. They're poisons because they are easily infected by parasite. So once they've been infected by parasite, you take the seed, you grind them, you make an end product to feed the animal or feed people, you will get poison. You have diarrhea, you have headache, you know, your nerve system will respond to that. And that is the dangerous part. And in ancient account, in some historical record, we do have record that at that time, a landowner's enemy would do something like that. So in our world, it is something like today we call it bioterrorism. It's very similar to that. You know, you scatter something very similar, but it has a totally different effect on people. Now, when Jesus told this parable, Jesus told this parable to his disciples that God's kingdom is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But whilst everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. Now the peculiar thing is here. In verse 27, the owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servant asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" Then the master said, "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvester, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it to my barn.'" Now, the peculiar thing is here. When the servant said, "Now we can see, we can tell that two kinds of different crops come up. One is the one that you sow. The other one is the wheat. Now, do you want us to pull out the weeds?" The master said, "No. Let them grow together. Because if you pull it out, you might pull out a good one too." Now, this picture actually very accurately captures what we are in the situation. Later on, from verse 36 on, Jesus explained this parable to them. And the field, Jesus said very clearly, the field representing this world. The field representing this world. Now, the field is not talking about his church. So don't get mixed up, because if you think the field is the church, then you say within the church there were weeds and wheats. No, Jesus is saying that the field is this world. In other words, we are living in a situation that good and evil are coexisting together. Good and evil are coexisting. If you turn on your computer, hit CNN, BBC, ABC News, you will see that. Particularly in the past couple of weeks, there's so many devastating news. A Marine got killed. A 2-year-old boy being thrown from highway. And all these things. We live in a world that the news, that the situation happening around us will dishearten us, discourage us, and bring despair to our lives. And sometimes to the extent that you and I would say, "Wow, it's too much to bear. It's just too devastating. It's too sad." God's kingdom always starts in a very unpromising situation. God's kingdom starts from unpromising situation. Jesus told us long time ago, and he used this parable to tell us this is the situation. God's kingdom will start very, very small, insignificant. Even you and I will feel it's unpromising. When we look at the world around us, look at the things happening around us, we'll ask, where's the hope? Where's the hope? A couple of years ago, I was in a seminary. I went to this seminary for a conference. It's called a mentorship conference, because one of their students were serving in our church, and I was his mentor. So the mentor were required to go through a 2-day mentorship program. So when I went there, I arrived in the building, and I found out there's more than 100 pastors were sitting there, and then we all get together in that room. And those 2 days, they were telling us what the student will go through and what the training is about and what is the mentorship program expecting of us. Now, in all these sharing and talking about skills, I remember very, very clearly. There was one old pastor, about 70 years old, went up to the podium, and he started to share. And he was one of the designer of that mentorship program. And the first question he put forth to this hundred-some pastor was, "Have you ever doubted God? Have you ever doubted God?" We're sitting there looking at each other. What is he talking about? But I when I look around, I saw some pastors start to nod their head. Yes. Yes. And some even say, "All the time. All the time." Now, then he said, "I do too. I do too." Because when you are in ministry, when you touch and connect with people and really get into their lives, you will see a lot of brokenness. You will see a lot of hurt. you will see a lot of sufferings. And sometimes it casts doubt in your hearts God's goodness and God's power. I appreciate his honesty. He's so honest and so transparent that day. And I can relate to that. And I bet today, many of you sitting down here, you can relate to that, especially later on today, this morning. We're going to install a group of God's servants among us, the EMT members, the small group leaders, especially when you are in small group ministry. I bet from time to time, you will encounter a situation that's so disheartening, that's so discouraged, and sometimes it's so depressed. But remember, Jesus told us in this parable that we live in a world, we live in a situation that good and evil are coexisting. That God's people live among the work of the evil one. It is a situation. Seems very unpromising. The beginning of God's kingdom, it seems to be very unpromising. But the good news is in the second part of today's scripture, from verse 31 to 34. 31 to 34, Jesus continued. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of God's plan and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch on its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. So Jesus used a parable to reveal things that are hidden. And here he continued to use two more parables. One is the mustard seed. The other one is yeast. Now I've got a picture of the mustard seed. Look at that. That's a man's palm. And in the middle of his palm, couple of the seeds, very small, very small. And in the Middle East, in that Holy Land place, it is indeed a small seed among them. And today we notice some seeds are even smaller than that, but at that time, in their experience, this is the smallest one. Very small seed. Look at it. It's almost nothing. But yet, if you see the next picture, the plant behind that guy, these are mustard trees with yellow flowers. And it's taller than that guy. I think it's like about six, seven, and eight feet tall. It's the smaller seed, but yet it will grow into a size that's higher than a human being, taller than a human being. That's the mustard plant. And if today you go to Middle East, go to Israel, you will see rows and rows of these mustard plants on the field. From the smallest, grow to the biggest. And this is the promise. This is the promise that Jesus gave, however unpromising, that God's kingdom start out. But God's kingdom will have a promised growth. God's kingdom will have a promise grow. It will grow. It will prevail. It will not go down. And that is Jesus' promise. Jesus following with another parable, which is the yeast that you use, you and I, we still today, you use it to make dough. And I have another picture of the dough. It looks like a baked ball. My wife used to make those cakes and bread and all these things. And one way to work the yeast into the dough is you use very little amount with a lot of flour. Mix them together, mix some water or milk and that sort of thing. And then one way to get it work fast is you have a warm oven, you put it in the oven, or in summer, you wrap it up, take it into your car parking on the street side, put it in there. In 2 hours of time, you get a big dough. Small yeast. But when it get into that flour, that ball of flour, give it time. It will work through that transformation process. It will transform the flour from its core and turn it into something totally different. And that is the power of God's kingdom. He always used the insignificant, the smallest, the unimportant. And yet with his power, it worked through a transformation process that transformed people from its core. And that force, no political power, no outside force can stop that. An unpromising start of God's kingdom, but God's promise of his kingdom, the growth, is unstoppable. The kingdom's growth is unstoppable. Last week, I had an opportunity in one of the situations in my office to share my faith with someone. We talk about, you know, a seeker asking a lot of questions about Christianity, about what is the actions of faith, what is the action of being a Christian. And to my surprise, a lot of seekers, they look at Christianity as like, oh, Christians are people who dress up, read the Bible every day, and go to church on Sunday. Now, that is not a very attractive notion. Especially today in this world, there's a lot of things offered to us. Many, many options. We have a lot of choices. Why sacrifice Sunday morning of a sleep that I don't have to get up early? Why sacrifice Friday or Saturday evening that I can enjoy a movie and going around, but instead of coming to church? Why open up that thick book and read those things that most of those things I don't understand? That it was not an attractive option. But yet, he asked me a personal question. How did you come to know God? So I shared with him. I came to know God because I realized the brokenness in my life. I realized that I thought I was a good person. But when challenges come, when stressful situations rise in my life, I found out that I'm not as good as I thought. And as a matter of fact, all these things that I hold dear and thought that I have those moral standards, it all crumbled down. Just when I face adversity, then I face stress, when I face challenges. Then I realized that I need a transformation power that can work in my heart. And that's the time Jesus came in. And Jesus came in, the transformation power is his love. Because that was the lowest time in my life that I realized that I'm totally bankrupt. Morally bankrupt. Personality bankrupt. I couldn't even face myself. Yet, Jesus loved me. Not only he loved me, but he came to find me. And he extended his hand of acceptance toward me. Then I find a new kind of love that is even beyond I can love myself. That's way, way superior than the love that I can have for myself. My life started to transform. And that is the yeast that work in the dough. And today God still can use you and me as yeast to work in this world. However insignificant you feel yourself is. But if you live in God's love and you share God's love, the transformation power will start from there. And we do believe that all human culture, civilization, however advanced our technology is, cannot solve that problem unless God is among us. God's kingdom has to be in our culture, in our civilization. Otherwise, we have no hope. God's kingdom starts as an unpromising situation, but yet He promised that His kingdom's growth will be unstoppable. So today, when we live in this world, when we see all these brokenness, bad news, sadness happening around us, how can we deal with that? There was a pastor in Hawaii. He's a football fan, and he loved to watch Monday Night Football. But you know, in Hawaii's time is different from the continental U.S. So in the continental U.S., Monday Night Football usually broadcast on Monday evening. But at the same time in Hawaii is mid-afternoon. Now this pastor loved to watch Monday Night Football, and when it comes to his favorite team, he couldn't wait, because in Hawaii, the television station, they would delay the broadcast until like 6:30 in the evening. So he couldn't wait. So what he would do is he'd turn on the radio and listen to that game, his favorite team. And then he enjoyed the game. And when he knew that his favorite team is winning, or even won the game, he'll be rejoiced. But at 6:30, he still would turn on the TV. He wanted to revisit all every move and look at the picture and all these things. Now, this is what he said. He said, when I know that my team won, when I turn on the TV at 6:30, when I look at every move, every single move in that football game, maybe my favorite team makes some mistake, fumble with the ball, but that is okay, because I knew they won. So I watch with a very, very different mentality. You and I, we have been given the good news that God's kingdom will prevail. As if we already heard the result of the Monday Night Football game. Now we turn on the TV, we live our daily lives, and we see things happen around us. You know what? It is okay. Maybe we witness some brokenness. We witness some very sad situation. But God's kingdom will prevail. And that is the promise. That victory has been won. Let's bow and pray together. Father, this morning, we want to lift up our heads because of your promise. We thank you for today's passage that Jesus gave us a couple of parables. Even though in our daily lives, we encounter challenges, and we see things happening around us in this country, even in our community, that things seem not right. But Father, we thank you because the war has been won by Christ. The victory has been declared on the cross. The enemy has been defeated. And therefore we can look at our lives, we can look at the situation around us from a very different perspective. Although your kingdom start out in a very unpromising situation, but yet your promise is the growth of the kingdom is unstoppable. Father, we give thanks for that, because all our labors will have meaning and ultimately will bring out a glorious result. Thank you, Father. We pray in Jesus Christ's name.